Welcome to Why Am I Laughing? The podcast.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to the podcast. My name is Ben Harris, and with me always, this time, is RJ Sines.
I'm a hologram!
We're your in-house comedy gurus who talk about what's funny, why it's funny, and RJ, how was your summer break?
It was just delightful.
Yeah, what'd you do? What'd you get done?
What did I get done? Nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing.
No! Did you go on any extravagant vacations of some sort?
Of sorts, yeah, I guess.
Of sorts.
I went to Zion National Park, the ride. No, I'm just kidding.
At Disneyland?
Yeah, Big Thunder Mountain. No, I did go camping, though. It was
nice.
110 degrees, and there was fire in Bryanhead.
What?
So I felt like I was smoking two packs of cigarettes a day.
Oh, no.
It was so fun.
I went up to Lake Shasta, did
Ooh.
A couple flips, a couple tricks.
Ooh.
That's what you do on that lake.
On a Sea-Doo?
Maybe.
Ooh.
Yeah, I fell off a CD and hurt myself pretty bad.
Oh, yeah, that's why you got that cast.
Yeah, my whole half side of my body is
it's
in a cast.
It's a full body cast now that I take another look at it.
But that doesn't matter because it's a podcast. You don't need to use your body.
Yeah.
It's not a physical job.
No, no.
I weigh 700 pounds.
You could be in the ER just lay on a gurney and just get this microphone right up in there.
Right up in there.
You're good.
You know what we're talking about today, RJ? We're talking about the cult classic Mean Girls.
Boo, you whore.
2004 just knocked it out of the park. But before we get into that, we got to see what's happening in the world of comedy. Could you take us through like a... like just a summer break recap news.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to cover.
Like a blast.
So I was thinking we kind of do like a lightning round news noise kind of a thing where I'm just going to go through the bullets of our what we've missed, basically.
Okay.
And you just respond with a simple noise.
Ah.
Exactly.
Oh.
There you go. All right, speed round. TJ Miller exits Silicon Valley.
Aw.
Rick and Morty is back, baby!
Yay!
The House, starring Will Ferrell and Amy Poehler, came out.
Hmm.
I give that a boo. Arrested D, Season 5 is in production and will include the whole cast together.
Mm.
Way more than last season. You're hesitant. That's good. The Emoji Movie sells out and makes us hate everything about 21st century comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. Oh, Hello on Netflix was worth the wait.
Mm-hmm.
Hell yeah. An honorable mention, Edgar Wright's Baby Driver, not a comedy, but excellent comedy.
B-A-B-Y
baby. B-A-B-Y
baby. So good. Both of us, like, happened to see it last night.
Yeah, and you didn't invite me.
Uh-huh, and you didn't invite me.
So it works out.
Yeah, absolutely. We're both mad at each other. But it was, yeah, really, really good movie. I'm just a sucker for Edgar Wright. Like,
yeah.
I will see anything he does because he's proven that he just knows how to tell a good story.
Yeah,
honestly, in my opinion.
Check out our Hot Fuzz episode. We really get into all the dynamics of his storytelling.
Yeah, and when you listen to the Hot Fuzz episode, then go watch Baby Driver and see how he uses like some of the things that he does in comedies for Baby Driver, and it's even more impressive.
Exactly.
So good.
Not to mention some of the best car chasing that
right?
I've ever seen.
And it was real. It was not like Fast Five CGI falling out of like a butt, you know?
Damn submarine on the Antarctic. It's so dumb.
So dumb.
Oh,
this was
gosh.
So good. Not dumb.
Not dumb.
Opposite dumb. And the best soundtrack.
Opposite of dumb, smart. Really good soundtrack. Let's just do the episode about
Baby
absolutely. Driver. MEAN Mean Girls.
No, but like 10,000 kudo bars to Edgar Wright for using the song Hocus Pocus by Focus.
Yeah.
I didn't know that anyone knew that song. I thought only my dad knew that song and he showed it to me. This band is like from Sweden or something and they yodel. And he used it in the song and it's or in the movie and it's so good.
My favorite song was Radar Love by Golden Earring.
Yeah.
That's just so classic.
Took your heart.
Oh.
Just threw it on the ground.
I knew where I was when I heard that song.
Yeah. You didn't know where you were before that?
No, I was like,
it's, like
it's dark in here.
Towards the end of the movie.
I just woke up. Oh, Radar Love. Movie theater.
All right, so yeah, we're going to talk about Mean Girls this episode, not Baby Driver.
No.
But they're pretty similar.
It's like the same
in
movie,
concept.
Basically.
But before we get into that, we got to give a little background. Here's some brief history on what you need to know about Mean Girls. After reading Rosalind Wiseman's book, Queen Bees and Wannabes, Tina Fey pitched an idea for a film to her then-boss, Lauren Michaels. The book focused on ways in which girls in high school form cliques and patterns of aggressive teen girl behavior. Lorne convinced Paramount to buy the rights to the book, and Tina wrote the screenplay from scratch, as the book is nonfiction. Now, the 2004 film is considered a top comedy and has inserted itself in the modern pop culture lexicon. You go, Glenn Coco. And has a tremendous cult following. It even has its own holidays, and not very many films can say that they have their own holiday.
Except The Holiday.
No.
Oh, I think you mean, like, not many films can be said that they're called The Holiday.
No, yeah, but this one isn't called The Holiday. It's called Mean Girls.
Right. Okay, now I get
yeah,
what
you're yeah,
saying.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
No, yeah, October 3rd, Mean Girls Day.
That's nuts.
Lots of memes, lots of GIFs. Almost as fun as Treat Yourself Day.
Uh-huh.
But treat yourself on Mean Girls
Day. Just so you know, don't take that day off work because it's not a national holiday.
Oh, we're working today.
It's an internet holiday.
We're working harder than we've ever worked.
Okay, but here's the question, RJ.
I guess I'm not prepared mentally for this question.
Yeah, the transition. Why is Mean Girls funny? Do you know?
I really have no way of further explaining
it. I think you do. How about you just read a script?
Yeah, I'll read our thesis for what we always think about. No, before I read that, I just want to point out, like you mentioned this early on, 2004 was nuts for comedy.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Nuts. I think it's like the third movie we've done from 2004.
That's when Baby Driver came out.
And it's not just like, oh, yeah, Baby Driver came out in 2004, re-release 17 years later, or I don't do math. Anyways, I mean, Anchorman, Dodgeball, Mean Girls, Napoleon Dynamite.
Napoleon D.
Hot Buzz.
Oh, yeah. Edgar Connection.
Drop the mic, if you know what I mean, ladies and gentlemen.
You just tapped it.
Yeah.
Tap that mic.
Ladies and gentle beans. All right.
So tell us why it's funny, RJ.
So when you embed quick-witted dialogue into an on-the-nose societal commentary, you wind up enlightening your audience as well as simultaneously burning jokes into their brains. I'm not sure if that was Tina Fey's intention when she wrote this, but this film is a rare breed of cinematic phenomenon. The comedy in Mean Girls comes from a great story with amazing self-aware humor. It's unique and memorable characters equipped with signature one-liners and the perfect dash of Tina Fey absurdism inserted into every single scene. This film is so rewatchable because of the many minute and hilarious tidbits of comedy that you almost forget about because it just comes and goes so quickly.
I do feel this is an early 30 Rock.
You took the words right out of my mouth, DJ.
You're welcome, then.
Oh, my gosh.
Put them back in your mouth.
don't.
No, but like if you watch season one of 30 Rock, because 30 Rock eventually evolves into something else. I mean, this movie is like a higher state of reality, right? It's not real things. It has, like, you know, people getting hit by a bus in her mind and stuff and, like, other things, but season one of 30 Rock and Mean Girls, I think, are very comparable.
Right.
Because eventually 30 Rock gets wacky, but season one stays pretty grounded, and the quickness and the jokes are very, very similar.
Oh, yeah, the same rhythm. I mean, Tina Fey wrote the screenplay from scratch. It's so much of her comedy.
You're kind of watching her perfect herself, her style.
Her style, yeah. And honestly, I couldn't think of, like, a better breakthrough kind of film for Amanda Seyfried, mm-hmm. Rachel McAdams, Tina Fey, mm-hmm. like they all kind of had these kind of like career launching moments in this film. And it's so true. Like this, I'm watching this, I'm like, oh, this is just like a more sympathetic 30 Rock.
Right.
like in 30 Rock, no one cares about anybody. No one learns any lessons. Yeah. Like it doesn't really matter. But like for this, it's so much more like, oh, girls are mean.
Yeah. Or it's kind of like one, you know, main character seeing things where she feels it's very obvious, but everyone else is very over the top and crazy. And then she enters into that craziness and comes out, you know, like a different person.
Yeah. There's some real transformation, some real lessons learned. Y'all hug it out at the end. Yeah. No one's really upset.
Except for that one girl who doesn't go to the school.
Yeah. She's
got a lot of feelings.
Get right out. Get her out of here.
Just go home.
Just
I love the balance that Tina can strike. We talked about this in our Tina Fey episode, but especially in Mean Girls, she does a really good job, because Tina Fey is a feminist, but making fun of feminists and feminism,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
She, like, has so many jokes of, of like, that's like the rules of feminism.
Yeah.
Like, just like girls who just don't get it and take it over the top or too far. And it's just really well done.
And it's just, I think, refreshing at the time, because this is probably one of the last kind of films that was in that like vintage high school era where there's cliques and there's things and there's whatever, which makes sense because this film was you know, created from like a nonfiction work of what high school is like at the time. So you kind of get this, you get this like
kids are on their Pokemon Go-ing each other.
No comment. And so I think it's just this interesting, like, oh, you have this high school and there's people that like you kind of vaguely resemble your experience in a way, but it's grounded in that reality of like, oh, you know what, like, I was kind of a dick to people in high school, or oh, you know what, like, these mean things do happen. So I mean, I must have watched it. I remember watching it. This is actually a funny story. I was sick from school one day, and my mother was like, hey, there's this movie out. I heard it was like really good to like watch with like your daughter or something. And like, I'm not a girl, but like, I have sisters.
It is a funny story.
I know. Very funny so far. And so we watch Mean Girls together, with the context being, I want to be able to bring this movie to your sisters and like talk about like girl stuff. And like, I just end up laughing my ass off like the whole time and feeling awkward during like the Santa baby number. But like, ultimately it was the best surprise, because like, no, everyone would be like, oh, go see Mean Girls, it's so funny. But I got to start seeing Mean Girls by like, this is gonna be like really educational, important to learn about how girls can be mean. And I just like was laughing the entire time.
Your mom's just like, didn't connect the dots from the preview or something?
Or she just read some article. I don't know. Well, I mean, awesome. That's what the book is based on. Anyways, right. Why bother getting into that? Let's talk about, most importantly, from the get-go, just get out of the way, this plot. What's going on with this plot?
Pretty simple plot, right? You got just a girl coming from Africa to be not homeschooled now in high school.
And then
which is pretty jarring. Like, it's a pretty jarring thing to go.
Yeah, they kind of brush over that.
Yeah.
But they do some nods back and forth to like, oh, Africa and monkeys and fighting.
So she comes to America from Africa to go to high school. She's a junior, and she joins in and is just overwhelmed with the culture of high school. And then she gets thrust in. She makes some friends that are kind of like with her in seeing things normal. And then they then encourage her to go with the plastics.
Yeah, that was like all in day two.
Of girls who are a very heightened sense of reality. They get basically just like control freaks. I think Regina George needs like some therapy.
A little bit.
But so then she joins that group, and like, now she's becoming more, she's pretending to be in that group, but now she's becoming more real in that group than she is fake in that group, all the way to the point where she becomes the leader.
Spoilers.
And then eventually sees the fault in her stars and
a fart in her stars.
That's not what I said.
Same thing though, right?
Yeah. And then goes back to being friends and nice, and she basically fixes that high school by
inadvertently fixing high school by doing some like pretty jacked
by giving a speech after getting prom queen that people don't normally make speeches. Sorry, that's one of my favorite.
You didn't give a speech when you were prom queen?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Yeah, this is the Russian plot synopsis.
Yeah.
Synopsis treatment. The girl not mean girl. Girl, then fake mean girl. Girl, then real mean girl. Girl, sorry for being mean girl.
How many times did you say girl in that sentence?
Hit by bus. So it's silly. Just a silly thing.
Yeah. And I get it. Right? Like, the bus is a metaphor, right? Like, getting hit by a bus, like, that's like a, it hit me like a bus, right?
I guess so, for like realization or like maybe some life-changing understanding.
But here's the thing. When I was watching the movie, I was like, that bus driver is driving way too fast. That's not okay. That's like, it's very unsafe. We're in a school zone.
Yeah, a school zone, need I remind you, is 20 miles per hour.
Yeah.
Right? So that bus,
that's easily going 45.
I want film theory to get in on this, because that bus had to have been going at least 70 miles per hour to get in and out of the frame that quickly.
Yes.
It was boom, we're there.
Like even the first one, like when she just steps off and like almost gets hit by the bus.
Yeah.
If I was that dad, I would have been like livid. I would be like, effing bus driver, slow down, you idiot. Like,
and I get sometimes like you don't see a bicycle. Like I get that. It's happened to me.
Yeah.
Like almost getting hit by a bicycle.
You're blind in one eye, right?
I don't have vision in my right eye.
No,
and
I'm joking.
Like they're just kind of like small enough and like thin enough that like you don't really see it. And then all of a sudden, oh, there's a bicycle. But a bus, which could easily take up the entirety of the road and is neon yellow in most scenarios, traveling that fast, like, geez. He, you know who was behind the wheel? B-A-B-Y baby.
This is just one big universe. The Mean Girls baby universe.
They're connected.
Baby Driver.
Is the mean baby universe.
Really
the mean baby universe.
Well, then I'm not as mad if it's baby.
No.
Yeah, he's got, probably got something to do.
He's got Queen in his ears.
Yeah.
And he's just...
Anyways, okay.
Let's get into some of these characters. So
yeah.
Tell me about Katie, last name, Smith.
Katie
Herring?
Hanning?
Oh, gosh. People are going to hate us for this one.
Yeah, she's you know, your average girl who grew up being homeschooled. She comes in. She's real normal. She's kind of shy. She's good at math.
Yeah, great at math, but a little shy about it because she doesn't want to, you know.
Well, multiple people have told her that it's social suicide.
Yeah, which is a
to the math teacher's face.
Yeah.
Which is Tina Fey.
Yeah, and she's like, thank you.
Yeah.
That's how I'm here. Yeah, that's kind of messed up. That's another thing that's kind of like come and gone. Like if someone in high school was like, yeah, I have like an A+ in trigonometry and I'm going to the math Olympics, I'd be like, dang, you're probably gonna go to Harvard,
right?
For,
yeah,
like,
you're like a smart popular
biochemical
person.
Engineering,
absolutely,
like, good for you. But you know, I guess back in the vintage high school era, I was like, nerd, put him in a trash can.
Yeah, were the smart people at your school like outcasts?
No.
Yeah,
they were like heralded as
absolutely.
Kings and queens.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't want to get into it.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
But I like this character because it's such a unique angle of like you get it. Like she's narrating the whole story, which is great because you really identify with like the character's thoughts and motives. And like she just wants to blend in. She's a new girl. She just wants to be friends. And she finds some friends and they're like, oh yeah, these girls hate them. Like, let's get them. This is day two, by the way. I want to mention this. Day two, they come up with a plan.
You feel that's too fast?
I feel it's far too fast.
Yeah, all right.
Hey, welcome to school. I don't have any friends. Oh, look at these guys. They're kind of cool. Oh, I hang out with them the next day. Let's take down the social hierarchy of the school right now.
I feel, though, Janice Ian, who's Lizzie Kaplan's character.
Genius.
I feel that's not untrue to her characterization. To like on day two be like, let's destroy all
society. Day two,
society.
Senior year, I'm bored. Let's take down the school from the inside. Is that the Whalespiracy theory that Lizzie Kaplan.
Janice Ian.
Janice Ian secretly wanted this from the beginning. It was all a part of her plan.
That's not a secret. That's like a part of her character.
All right, so Whalespiracy debunked. Nice try, Ben.
Yeah, good one. But also, Regina George.
Oh, wow.
Excellent villain.
Maybe one of my favorites.
She's so good. Like, she's just the epitome of using, like, negativity and control to get what she wants, right?
Exactly.
So good.
And not only that, really, the character really does a good job capturing that thing that people have in most social, in like some social environments, but high school especially, where it's like, who gave you this power?
Yeah.
Like, we're way more than you here. And there's like the office hotshot who's just like, you know, he's been here just as long as everybody else, but for some reason he thinks he's just wheeling and dealing and yelling at people and telling people what to do. It's like, who are you?
To be fair, though, Regina George, she's attractive.
I mean, sure, yeah.
So, no, that's why she gets to do it.
Is that how it works in the animal kingdom?
Uh-huh. As a non-attractive person, I'd like to let you know that is how it works.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about me. I was like, hey, buddy, speak for yourself. But you did, and yeah, you're right. So, No, I'm just kidding. You look good.
That's thanks, man.
Summer sunshine giving you
nice... I wear this cast very well.
Yeah, the full body cast is giving you a nice tan underneath. I'm sure of it.
Who else we got?
Great
names in this movie, by the way. Gretchen Wieners.
My father, the inventor of toaster strudel.
So good.
She's like the perfect wingman woman, I guess, wing woman who is just a yes woman,
mm-hmm.
and also doesn't really question authority, right? That's the best kind of wing woman you need. Someone who isn't going to question you if they tell you what to do or something.
Mm-hmm.
Also, back to Regina George real quick. She's cold-blooded.
Yeah, yeah.
She straight up... Who does this? Who calls...
I know, right?
...someone's mom and says, hi, this is Planned Parenthood. I just wanted to talk to Becky about some results. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That is so insane.
That's like a felony.
I'm pretty sure it is. Like, illegally portraying like a medical practitioner.
Yeah.
That's nuts. Just to get back
straight
at,
up, yeah.
Just to get back at Skeez McGee.
Yeah, hairy back.
Yeah, ugh, yuck. And that's another thing. How come Aaron Samuels is the only semi-attractive guy in this movie?
You're not attracted to Kevin G?
Hell no.
I love Kevin G.
He looks like a smaller, skinnier, Middle Eastern version of myself.
Wait, then shouldn't you be attracted to him?
Absolutely not. I'm repulsed by my own image. That's why we do an audio podcast. I don't want to see my
no
face.
No video over here.
None whatsoever.
And then you have a Karen, the dumb one.
Yeah.
Like, there's not much more to her.
No. Easily one of the most memorable parts of her character is how she can tell what the weather is. She's got
well, it breaks down the more she explains it, right?
Right, yeah.
She's like, I can tell what the weather is by using my body. She's like, well, I can tell when it's gonna rain by my boobs.
When it's raining.
And then she goes, no. She's more like, I can tell when it's raining. And I love at the end when she's doing the news and she's like, there's a 30% chance that it's already raining.
Right now, and it's raining currently.
So good.
God, Karen, you're so stupid. You can't just ask people why they're white.
So good.
Another great character, Janice Ian and Damien, the perfect anti to the Plastics.
Mm-hmm.
That duo, really solidified like the classic artsy emo rebel, confident gay man. And they both have their amazing one-liners to boot. I mean... Friggin' Damien.
Yeah.
Killing it.
I know.
Oh, none for Gretchen Wieners. Bye! As Santa.
I think it's really interesting that they... I mean, it makes sense, but it's a good friendship that they have, right? Because Janice hates everything, but he doesn't. Like, he's like, able to make fun of the Plastics and be like, oh, gosh, they're the worst. But he, like, cares about, like, who's Spring Fling Queen.
Yeah.
Like, he's very passionate about what the stuff that he likes.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go out on a limb, all the way out on the edge of the limb, and say Damien, the too gay to function guy, and Tim Meadows, the principal, make the whole movie.
Make it.
Make the whole movie. I guess personally for me, I would have to say that is the case.
Tim Meadows for sure.
Like Damien has all the best lines.
Yeah.
He's just so quotable. And like he's just all over the place, and then Tim Meadows is so subtle. He's like so just like very calm,
deadpan.
It's like, what's the line when he's like, "Oh my gosh,
that makes me
so mad." Just like when I call my cousin Anthony.
No,
dang it, I'm messing it up.
It's that just like my sister named her son Anthony.
No. As mad as my cousin Anthony gets when I call him Anthony, almost as mad as I get when I think about the fact that my sister named her son Anthony.
Yeah, that's the line. That took forever. But, yeah, that's a classic one. The carpal tunnel bit is hilarious. He's got the cast on the whole time, kind of like you now.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you're right. Damien does have all the best lines. Danny DeVito, I love your work. Like, if you... If you ever want to get somebody out of there.
Yeah, like, he's so, like, he shouldn't be he's almost like a character that gets away with everything. He shouldn't be in all the places that he's in.
Well, and that's the Tina Fey
comedy. All the
comedy.
Junior girls get invited to the gym, and he's in there.
Yeah.
Like he just sneaks in. He's in the bathroom.
She doesn't even go here.
Yeah.
Like, tell me if this makes sense. I feel like the Tina Fey comedy is the jokes that the character can say to another character, to their face, and it's a funny joke. But the difference in the Tina Fey reality is that the other person, like, doesn't say, like, why would you say, Danny DeVito, I love your work? Like, doesn't make any sense.
They just run away.
Like, yeah. Or like, the question, the characters around him don't question,
yeah,
like, the legitimacy of that joke.
Yeah.
Like, they don't even laugh. They don't acknowledge that the joke was said most of the time. And, you know, that's like, so much of her comedy. The things that are said that no one ever really bats an eye about. But
it's believable.
Very, very believable.
So good. I love when the principal is trying to help the girl off the, like, roof, and she swings a kick at him, and he's like, oh, hell no! I did not leave! Whatever he
says. The south side for this!
But this! Breaks the... Oh, so good. He has a bat. Why does he have a bat in his office?
Because he's on the south side.
Yeah, apparently.
Makes so sense good. To me. Carpal tunnel, south side. I don't know what the two have in common, but maybe he was a pinch hitter.
Probably.
Who even knows? Oh, some question I did have about kind of this whole storyline. I just remember right now. So Regina George gets the burn book, right? It says all the nasty things like, what's her face? Amber Deliso made out with a hot dog and whatever. She like photocopies like a million. That's what starts this whole riot.
Right.
Like, how did she get to Kinko's in time before school and make a million copies and not stir up any controversy or controversy, if you will, all up in that Kinko's? Like, yeah, just make a photocopy of all these really nasty things that are being said about
the Kinko workers don't care.
You know, they look at it.
Yeah, but they're not like, oh, this is a mean person. I'm gonna see some ID? Yeah.
I don't know. Just like that mom who got the call from fake Planned Parenthood. I guess they didn't really question it.
Yeah.
It makes sense to me, I guess.
My thing is, how could they possibly think that Katie made the burn book when it has things in the burn book from last year?
Hmm.
She's only been going here this year.
That's so good.
But how would she know that she made out with a hot dog?
It's just a rumor, I guess. Like, you could argue. I mean, if this is, you know, Criminal Minds or some kind of lawyer movie.
No, I'd represent her for sure. Like, how could she have written that?
I'd be a prosecuting attorney and say, Your Honor,
especially like some of those pictures. Some of those pictures are from last year.
Your Honor,
how could she take those pictures?
She has access to your books. She has access, obviously, to a Kinko's, and she obviously is not afraid to make some copies of previous photos and put them into this book. Also, these rumors have existed long before. You're correct. However, Your Honor, this is a key thing for lawyers. If you just keep saying Your Honor.
Yeah.
Your Honor, Your Honor, Your Honor. It is very easy to hear these rumors and then just regurgitate them. It doesn't have any indication of whether they were from the
past. I object. Hearsay. Happenstance. That's all the objections I know.
Oh, I thought you were like...
Allegorical.
Those are all Harry Potter curses too. Allegorical! Flash your wand at me.
That's a pretty crazy courtroom.
Yeah. Speaking of crazy courtrooms, very honorable mention for Amy Poehler's character, Mrs. George.
Yeah. She's so good. She's the mom that, like, is just okay with everything but wants to be cool. Like, oh my gosh, it's just so good. You can see the dynamic of why Regina George is the way that she is because her mom gave her everything, so she expects everything.
Yeah. The best is she's like clearly making out, probably having sex with that one dude. What?
Yeah.
And Amy Poehler pokes her head and she's like, you kids need anything? Some snacks? A condom? Oh, God love ya.
So ridiculous. Yeah, she's just the worst parent ever.
Yeah, and like her youngest daughter's like watching Girls Gone Wild. Like,
I love when they're looking at her like dressing up for Halloween, And the Tina or Amy Poehler is like taking a bunch of pictures, and the dad's like almost crying.
The dad is
miserable. Shaking his head like,
yeah, that's a nightmare. Yeah, I feel like that was a really self-aware moment for the film too. It's portrayed in a lot of films, certainly the concept of women dressing provocatively
for Halloween
and getting away with it. But I don't know. I feel like Mean Girls like really put the nail in the coffin of like, girls do this because they can get away with it, and some girls just dress in lingerie and cat ears. I'm a mouse.
So good.
I'm not even kidding you. There was one time on a Halloween. I don't know. Names don't matter here. Benjamin Harris dressed up.
I went as a sexy mouse.
No. Literally wearing like just lingerie and like, I'm a slut. And I was like,
no way.
No. Don't do that.
No, you're not.
No, you're a good person. We don't need to do this. We'll be friends.
One time I went as, never mind. We don't have to talk about it.
All right. Ben thought he had a story and then quickly realized this is very inappropriate and revealing to where I've been in my life. You didn't leave the South Side for this? Is that where this is going?
But let's talk about like just the style of this movie.
Yeah.
Very 30 Rock, like we've said.
Very early 30 Rock. It's like I don't even know, ABC Family 30 Rock. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And the reason I say ABC Family 30 Rock is mostly because I watched the first 10 minutes of the sequel of the same name, Mean Girls 2, which, by the way, has absolutely nothing to do with the original film, except shares the same name, and Tim Meadows is in it again, except as a different character.
What? For real?
But he's still the principal.
That can't be true.
Okay. I'll say my catchphrase, and I'll say it once only. Look
I'm
it
currently looking it up.
Up, y'all. Anyways, so it is that like family homey kind of vibes, but also it has that ridiculous reality where all of a sudden, like we said before, someone can get hit by a bus. All of a sudden, it's like Animal Kingdom. She like jumps over the table and like, oh, that didn't really happen. It's back to reality. So it does that cool thing of like, oh, wait, did that just happen or did it not just happen? Is this real or is this not real? And then even at the end, they address that and be like,
dude, Mr. Duval, Principal Duval, he's Duval in both movies.
Really? Oh, strike three.
Looked it up, found you wanting. Yeah, dork.
All right, so then let me get this another
Did
go.
Tina have anything to do with Mean Girls 2?
None. She turned down several offers.
That makes sense. That's smart.
Several.
That's
yeah.
smart. Tim Meadows, though. He needs the cash.
Yeah, he's...
Ladies' man didn't take him as far as he hoped.
Yeah. Poor guy.
That's disgusting.
He's better off doing another ladies' man movie than Mean Girls 2. That
I wouldn't go that far.
That was garbage.
You saw Mean Girls 2?
I watched the first 10 minutes.
Ah, that's rough.
And it was like, no, I'm losing how much I love the first film.
Yeah,
I
that's
can't
bad.
Keep
yeah, don't do that
watching.
To yourself.
It was a direct-to-ABC Family original movie. How desperate are you? But one of like the most watched ever.
For reals?
For reals. All you got to do is slap the same name up on the screen. Yeah. People are going to go watch it.
People
love what they know. Anyways. So this is like a nice tone to it, but it has all these weird quirks and realities. I think that what I like about this film is it kind of encapsulates the best of what we see in like movies that like Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Hughes.
Breakfast Club. John Hughes. The John Hughes films, like American Sweetheart classics of that like high school gone era, where you know it's the quintessential
John Malkovich.
High school.
What? Oh, we already found it. Sorry.
No, go back one. Go back one.
Sorry. Yeah, back Hughes.
Yeah. So like, I love that it's this high school realm, and they really did a good job just getting what we like from those movies and getting rid of what we don't like in those movies, and that it kind of paved the way for movies like 21 Jump Street, which is also like takes place in a high school, but it
that movie kind of it takes the trope of vintage high school and flips it, right?
Yeah, and
flips
that's where script. I feel like it's so much more real. Because I even remember watching, you know, they still did movies well into the early 2000s.
We were talking about good replacements for Aaron Samuels, and we mentioned Dave Franco, and Dave Franco's in...
21?
Yeah, 21 Jump Street.
I thought he was in 22. No, he's in 21 also.
Yeah, he's in 21 Jump Street. He's the seller.
Yeah. Okay.
So he was the right age. What year did 21 come out?
I'm going to say 2011.
So
2012 maybe?
A couple years later, like 6 years later.
I'm sorry. What's your point in this?
I'm sorry. I'm just age gapping him. Sorry. Never mind. We don't have to talk about it. I was like, I thought he would be a good replacement for Aaron Samuels in Mean Girls.
Because James Franco originally tried out for the part.
Yes. Remember we had that conversation that's earlier how you that got was off
there.
Air? Yeah.
Yeah. That's how you got there. And I'm like, all right, let's cue everybody in here. We talk outside of the podcast.
No.
Rarely, but we do.
Yeah.
We do.
It happens.
Not a Baby Driver because no one invites each other apparently.
But it is a good movie, so that's okay.
But I don't talk during film, so it's okay.
Okay, so that is Mean Girls.
That is Mean Girls.
That's the movie that we saw, and that it's good. How about if you had to give it a funny or die, what would you give it? Sorry, that's a bad rating system. If you had to give it a 1 through 10 on how many laughs you gave it, how many laughs would you give it?
I think it stands on its own. I give it a solid 8.8.
8.8?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I just a little below, 8.4.
Okay, wow. Still in the eights. Eights company, as they
say. We should do this for all the other movies that we've rated. Because now I'm curious where it stands
against.
Well,
I don't like numbers. That's my thing. Like, the numbers...
You'd rather do it on a baseball field?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, speaking of that, you know what that means.
I'm you don't know what that means. Rusty. I don't know what that means, Benjamin. Please tell me.
Was that really quiet? No, it was normal loudness.
Yeah, that was normal. That was pretty ear deafening.
Perfect. That means it's time for Ben's Wacky Facts, the part of the show where I say some wacky facts and RJ gives a retort based on the mileage percentage of how funny it was, right? What's the new system that we came up with, right, on stalling, so you could say?
No, that's fine. You didn't need a stall. You could have just handed it off to
me. All right, here we go. Handing off to you.
Yeah, you don't even say handing. Okay. I'll just pick it up.
Handing.
Like now. Good. So basically, we're trying out a new rating system because now we can get our wacky facts pre-screened, right, from critics. And they can rate the wackiness of each fact, either wacky or not wacky. So then we average it out and we get a percentage of wackiness that we can deliver to our viewers.
Is that anything like Rotten Tomatoes?
I'm sorry, what?
Rotten Tomatoes.
Come again?
www.rottentomatoes.
I've never heard of that one. I don't know what you're talking about. This is a completely unique thing. It has nothing to do with anything that's existed prior.
No, totally unique.
So basically,
so if it's like above a certain percentage, it's like fresh.
Yeah, it's about 50%. Yeah, you got the idea.
Cool. Yeah, I can't believe you've never heard of Rotten Tomatoes.
Doesn't ring a bell.
Yeah. Okay. Well, all right. Here's wacky fact number one. This was the first film for Amanda Seyfried.
First?
She'd never been in any other film.
Any? Wow. And she goes from this to Les Mis?
I don't know if it was direct.
No, it was just a hop, skip, and a jump.
I don't think so.
No, she did.
I think she did like more before she was Colette.
Yeah, no, I'm just kidding. But I just like the romanticized version of like, and she was so good at Mean Girls, she was launched into stardom on the Broadway spectacular turned cinematic spectacle, Les Miserables.
She was so good at telling boob weather that she got immediately catapulted to, that's funny. Isn't that crazy?
It is very crazy.
So
to me.
Put it on the Wacky Tomatoes.
I think she was in another Nicholas Sparks movie, now that I think about it, which is funny because Rachel McAdams was also in a Nicholas Sparks film known as
Mean Girls 2. Yeah, I know. The Notebook.
The Notebook, which is funny because I actually, even though I'm pretty sure Notebook came out before Mean Girls, actually, same year, just a couple months later.
Okay.
I saw Mean Girls 4, I saw Notebook, and watching The Notebook, I had less sympathy for Rachel McAdams' character because I was like, that bitch.
Oh, no. That's funny.
Anyways, yeah, let's see what the critics say. Oh my gosh, wow.
The that tabulations are in.
92% wacky meter. Yeah. Wow, very wacky.
I tricked you. You had no idea.
No, I thought it was going to be like a 30.
Uh-huh. So here's wacky fact number two. Tim Meadows broke his hand before shooting. That's why he had to wear a cast, and they wrote in the explanation for the character Mr. Duvall that he had carpal tunnel.
No way.
That's why that joke is secretly even more funny when he's like, yeah, I got carpal tunnel again. And she's like, I win.
I win.
Yeah. And he's like so defeated.
That's so funny. Even funnier, mind you, they cast him, I'm assuming pre-handbreak.
Mm-hmm.
Breaks hand, and they just go, we want you still so bad, we're gonna keep you in.
Well, yeah, you
how easy is it to get a Tim Meadows principal?
Oh, not easy.
Really?
Yeah.
Not easy.
I think to anyone else in that situation is not as good as Tim Meadows.
You could have had a...
No.
Greg Kinnear. You would have been perfect.
No. No. You could have had... He's not deadpan. Yes, Greg Kinnear would have been okay. Yeah. But it's not Tim.
You could have gotten Matthew Perry. You would have been perfect.
Matthew Perry? Matthew Perry does not have a nephew named Anthony.
You read a different joke.
Nope. Right.
Ben is very insistent upon Tim Meadows.
If you lose Anthony,
okay,
that's a good joke, RJ. Okay. Oh, sorry, guys. I just...
You're spiking
blew the ears off.
Ow. Thank you.
All right. You ready for Wacky 3? Or no, you have to put it on the Wacky Tomatoes.
I got to check the rating
system.
Yeah,
check it out.
All right.
Is it a website?
Yeah.
Okay.
The critics rated...
What is the name of the website?
Oh, it's coming up as a solid 93%.
Whoa.
Wacky. Very so wacky fresh. Indeed. Congrats. Thank you, critics, for voting.
The critics vote?
Yeah.
Okay. They don't just give their opinion. They vote?
I mean, they write
on
reviews.
On a percentage?
They write reviews sometimes, but they just have to say wacky or not wacky. And it's an average out.
Okay. Awesome. Here is wacky fact number three. Initially, Lindsay Lohan was cast as Regina George, but she decided to play the nice girl, quote-unquote, Katie Heron, so the public wouldn't base her personal personality on Regina George. Rachel McAdams was chosen to play the, quote-unquote, mean girl, Regina George, because only nice girls can play mean girls, according to Tina Fey.
So does that mean that Tina Fey thinks Rachel McAdams is a nice girl?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't know if I agree with the stance, but I mean, I get it. Like,
I also
it makes sense.
Don't know if I agree with the stance, but also I'm happy that they
only
played their respective
nice
roles.
Nice girls can play mean girls. What does that make me?
Confused. Undecided.
Undecided. Who do I vote for? That's funny,
yeah.
Because Lindsay Lohan,
yeah.
If you aren't up to speed with where she's at now.
A couple DUIs later,
yeah.
In a drunk tank, and she's not so nice, girl.
Yeah, she's not a mean girl, but she's definitely no Katie Heron.
That's she for sure. Does weird stuff. She did like an ad where she's like, she's dancing, but she's like, cover her like whole body is covered.
What's up?
It's
covered
weird,
by what?
It's like a Middle Eastern ad that she did
in the Middle
for
East?
Swimsuits. I think it was for swimsuits, but her like whole body is covered,
like a burkini.
I think so.
Those are real.
Okay,
wait. Why would she advertise a burkini?
Exactly. That's why it's weird. It's like, what are you, Lindsay? What are you doing?
What's going on, hun? You don't need this. You got that Freaky Friday money.
That had to have come out before this, right?
Jamie Lee Curtis will take you in any day. What are you doing, sweetheart?
Yeah, bum off of her Activia money. Are you kidding?
Go poop your pants $1,000 worth. You know what I mean? Do you remember that SNL sketch?
Yes.
I think Kristen Wiig plays Jamie Lee Curtis and poops her pants like 100 times doing an Activia commercial.
Oh, it's so funny. So what do the critics say?
All right, survey says that gets a 73% wacky.
Still wacky.
Still wacky.
But not.
But honestly, it's more just kind of like, really, Lindsay?
Hand on hip, really, Lindsay.
Hand on hip.
All right. Well, then that is what we have for the show. We got to get into some listener mail.
Yeah.
Are you ready for that, Ray J?
I am. I have one side intrigue.
Yeah, tell me, please.
Kevin G. I actually just watched an interview with the guy who plays Kevin G. Forget his name. I'm sorry, sir. Apparently, as soon as Mean Girls was done, he was like, I'm taking acting for reals. And I'm going to India. And I'm going to train there with students and like learn how to pick up manners. Because he's from America.
Okay.
And pick up mannerisms and all these things. Because I want to play like an authentic role. You know, because there's a lot of those roles in Hollywood.
Kevin G is an authentic.
No, I mean, like, he's American.
No, I know. I'm joking.
Come
RJ.
On. Okay, don't
this
cut
is a
me
joking
off.
Podcast.
No, it's not. This is very serious. And he was trying to, once word got out that Ang Lee was making Life of Pi, he was like, I really want to be Pi or the Life of Pi or that kid in the movie with the tiger.
I think he's Pi.
No.
His name is Pi in the movie.
Well, I know, but.
Or is the tiger Pi?
I'm not okay. I don't care. The point is, he didn't get the part and was super bummed. And now,
is it about the tiger?
I don't remember.
Well, I gotta rewatch that.
It got an Oscar. I don't know.
It did. Got all the Oscars. All right. So Ang Lee's Pi.
Yeah, he didn't get the part, and it's a bummer. But he's still an actor, and he's still working hard. But he is like, it's just crazy. So many people like still know me for Kevin G and do the whole Kevin G rap to my face
really?
Walking down the street, and I'm like,
how old is he now? He's got to be like at least. However long since the movie older.
He's got to be like, I don't know what math is older.
I'm no mathlete, but the limit does not exist, you know?
The limit does not.
Well, maybe it does for him. He's stuck in Kevin G. That would be so sad if people still came out to you and were like, oh, you suck at MCs. I'm Kevin G.
Yeah. I mean, I'd like it, but I think he said it gets. He seemed like you could see the pain behind his eyes.
Ooh, like, that's so sad.
Yeah, it just kind of gets old. Nah, he's a good sport. Anyways,
all right, so yeah, let's see what we got in the old mailbox.
For hashtag whale mail of the week.
Yeah, that.
Anyways, so this week's whale mail reads, I saw Napoleon Dynamite. That's all caps. Spring 2004. My husband was out of town, and I went and saw it at the Century Theater next to Target.
Wait, who is this mail from?
I haven't gotten to that point yet.
Usually you say in the beginning, don't you?
No, I don't.
Okay, sorry. I'm rusty buckets from spring break.
Yeah, well, you've been on a booze cruise in Lake Shasta. I've been sharpening up my attention to listening skills. All right? Jeez, just wait. I'll reveal all in due time.
All. Okay, keep going. All caps.
I saw Napoleon Dynamite. All caps. Spring 2004. My husband was out of town, and I went and saw it at Century Theater next to Target. At the time, audiences either loved it and thought it was the funniest film they ever saw, or they hated it. I was in the later camp. I still enjoyed your show. I still very much enjoyed what you had to say about this movie.
The latter camp.
Ben, again,
sorry.
I know it probably was supposed to say latter, but in this email it says later. So do you want me to continue? Okay, from the top.
Oh my gosh.
I'm just kidding. I wanted to chew my leg off when I first saw this film. I was ready to walk out, and then it was finally over. I was waiting for it to get funny. I felt fortunate. I drove a late model car and had lunch in a sushi restaurant before the show and listened to music on my iPod on the way home. Everything in my world wasn't 20 years old like this movie. Much of my world was shiny and new in comparison. I recall everyone in the theater was dead silent. Nobody laughed. I vaguely remember the manager going behind a large black curtain to turn on the AC. The theater was getting hot and stuffy. I still enjoyed your show. I thought it was a good show. I'll listen to future episodes. Ultra Woman. Wow.
Ultra Woman.
Superheroes.
What? Ultra Woman?
Yeah.
That's right.
We just saw
a
movie with a man named B-A-B-Y Baby.
Yeah.
So it isn't too far off.
Yeah, but that's a movie.
Yeah, and this is apparently a real person.
Emails are real people.
Yeah, so are movies.
Did you know that?
Yeah.
What? Movies are too?
Yeah. Well, thanks, Ultra Woman.
Ultra Woman, wow.
I get your pain. I think this person is spot on with the whole people loved it or they hated it.
Yeah, and really, for me, that movie was about your crowd.
Totally.
If you had a good crowd, that movie is like out of the park. For me, the first time I saw it, bad crowd. Nobody laughed. It was
really?
Spotty theater. Yeah, it was just like, what? And so personally, Or actually, no, no, no. I'm sorry. I'm mixing up my Josh Hess movies. Napoleon Dynamite knocked out of the park the first time I saw it. Everyone was dying at the little subtleties. Nacho Libre, yeah. Nobody got it.
No way.
Nobody was connecting in that theater. Everyone was just like, what?
What? Did he just eat an egg?
Dino chips. So, like, yeah, what? Nobody was connecting. But since then, watching Nacho Libre by myself, it's like way better.
That's crazy.
Because, like, when they say a joke and you hear, like, you're like, an audible sigh. You're like, oh, okay.
When I saw Napoleon Dynamite, it was just me and my dad, and we were just laughing our butts off. We're the only ones in the theater.
It was just me and Paul Burris.
Wow.
And Paul's dad.
Oh, okay. Dads love to go to the movies with their kids. thanks for Man yeah, and Ultra Woman. Obviously,
could you write us in again and let us know what your powers are?
Yeah, I would be
power interested. Set would be nice.
Power sight? What did you say?
Her power set would be nice. Just, you know.
What a real
authentic ask.
Yeah, a real authentic insight into how much of a nerd you are. And what her power set is. She's got to be like at least an Omega level mutant with a name like that.
Ultra Woman, no way. okay.
No, but I want to say thank you so much for writing
yes,
in.
Yes, thank
Even
you.
Even though you hated the movie, you still listened to our show, and that's awesome. I'm sure, I mean, we got 35 other eps. I'm sure there's something that you actually
go
liked.
Give Napoleon D another watch, you know?
No. Don't bother. Go listen to another one of our episodes about something
you didn't
you
like Napoleon
like.
D?
No, I did, but.
That's what I'm saying. Now that you've listened to our commentary on the movie, go listen to, or go watch it.
Give it a
and
second
give it a second chance.
Maybe
you had a bad theater. I'm guaranteeing you had a bad theater if it was hot and stuffy.
So is
nobody's
your theory,
gonna laugh.
Is your theory that sometimes your movie going experience can be dictated by the people around
Absolutely.
You?
Absolutely.
Very interesting.
Absolutely. But it also depends on the person that you are. If you are just like comfortable in your own skin, you're just gonna be laughing.
Yeah.
But if you're, you know, massively insecure like we are, you're gonna be like, you know, I need other people to be laughing to laugh.
I don't need that. I'm not insecure.
You're not laughing now. And then you see you just smile because I laugh. You're insecure.
Smiling. I'm not smiling.
Yep, you're smiling.
I'm not smiling.
All right, we're going to end the show the way we always end the show, and that is with the way we end the show. RJ,
and
take us through it.
Rusty as all hell. Look it. So this is what we say. You can find us, right? You can find our podcast on the iTunes podcast app, Google Play, or Stitcher. We're also part of the Pod Tyrant Network, so go to podtyrant.com or geektyrant.com to hear more awesome podcasts about movies, TV shows, popular culture, Cinematic Sound Radio, Nerds of Nostalgia, Screen Watchers Guild. They've got some amazing, amazing podcasts with current movies. I'm sure they're all doing one about Baby Driver as
Absolutely.
We speak. Great film. And be sure to check out our Twitter page, @WhalePod. We've had some great responses. We tweet regularly, as well as our Facebook page every week. Follow us on Facebook, and don't forget to email us at whyamilaughingpod@gmail.com.
Laughing?
Yeah, what did I say?
You said laughing.
Laughing.
Why am I laughing pod?
Why am I laughing pod?
Why am I laughing
now,
this pod?
The email is in the link, so if you don't want to write it down by hand now, just go to the description of the podcast. It's an easy hyperlink.
Smart.
And then, send us recommendations. Send us if you liked the movie or you saw it in a hot theater and whatever, you hated it.
Please email again, Ultra Woman, with your power set and...
and if you are, in fact, an Omega
description.
Level mutant.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, everyone who listened. If you need to find RJ on Twitter, you can always find him at Rodolfo the Brown.
And if you want to find Ben on Twitter, you can always find him at fullbodycast.gov.
/ Ultra Woman's Power Set. I just changed it now. That's our show. That's what we got. We love you guys. We're going to sign off with the sign-off that we always sign off with.
And that is...
Comedy is all about... power sets.